The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning and welcome, Patriot Radio News Hour. Joe and Jason on this Tuesday, and man, the year of chaos. It's living up to the hype. March Madness. I'll say this right now: if you haven't seen it, the cargo ship, one of those big, huge cargo ships, took out the key bridge in Baltimore, the port of Baltimore, shut down this morning. Maybe the only person happy about that, Puff Daddy, P. Diddy Combs, that I was making the rounds yesterday. The Homeland Security, FBI, CIA, it looked like, I'm not kidding, like, they were going after a mass murderer and were expecting this huge gun battle or something to break out. And they ended up taking a couple of laptops and a couple of cell phones. And, of course, there was always P. Diddy's trying to flee the country and all this stuff. And I'm just like, man, couldn't they just knock on the door? Right? Yeah. Right. I mean, if you're going to go in like that, right, man, you better come out with something more than a few laptops and a cell phone. But what do I know? But really, economically speaking, it has to be, another one of these events that will not help the inflation front. Obviously, that bridge, if you haven't seen it, this thing, it was like, I likened it to when I was growing up and my younger brothers were building something with blocks or Legos, whatever it may be. And you know, sometimes this happens. Godzilla came out of nowhere and smashed it to pieces. And, of course, my brother started crying and my mom would come up and what happened? And they were, oh, Joey. And I'm like, it wasn't me. It was Godzilla that did it. That usually ended with a backhand and me up in my room. But, yeah, this ship, it lost steering. The story is it lost steering twice. The first time they lost it for like 20 seconds. I guess it came back on and then they lost it again. And it ended up hitting, you know, one of these pylons. You know the ones. And these ships, they're huge. And this bridge, you know, it's not really designed to take that kind of a hit. And the whole thing came down. I mean, not just the section that it hit. I mean, the whole thing came down in a couple of seconds. Thankfully, it was 1:30 in the morning when it happened. But they were doing, you know, like anywhere, they were doing construction on the bridge. So, you know, they do it late at night. So then the bridge can be open for rush hour. There's got to be, it appears, I don't know yet, but it appears there's probably going to be some fatalities. And the only thing that I thought was interesting in that is it shows, you know, they were showing the track of the ship. And it was heading, you know, through the opening, you know, the big part of in between the pylons, you know. And it lost power or steering, propulsion. What you know, I don't know the ship terms. I'm not a ship pilot. And somehow it takes a right turn right into the pylon. I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, maybe that's what happens. I don't know. But it is a unique port, I guess, for everybody here. Why is this important? It is one of the only inland ports. It's the only inland port that can handle those big container ships. And it's difficult there. So believe it or not, the Port of Baltimore, they have their own pilots that get on these ships to get it out of the port. So, whoever was going to sail the ship to wherever it was going, he wasn't the guy driving during this because, this is how it works there. There's a huge Amazon facility there that's located there. There are other ways to get in and out of the port. There's a couple of tunnels there, where the traffic goes. But there's no way it cannot handle that type of traffic. And I'll say this, Jason, it will definitely affect people. I mean, I don't know. Can you imagine? Oh, my God, Amazon's not going to be able to deliver my package. I mean, people are going to freak out. But over the long term, it will be something that will definitely cause there to be a lot of price increases in that part of the country. Because let's face it, if you got to drive everything or you got to divert to other ports that are much farther away and truck it in, it's not going to help the inflation story. Let's just say that.
I can give you another take on it. When they clear the bridge debris out of the water, won't it make it easier for the ships to get in and out of there faster now?
Well, it will, right? Well, in theory, I guess they want to rebuild that bridge. The problem is getting the stuff to the port. So whether that's the stuff getting off, okay, then you got to get it out, right?
Right.
That bridge is the way they would do it. And then, of course, this was an outbound ship that hit the port, that bridge, the key bridge there. That was an outbound ship. So obviously, getting the stuff to that port to get on the ships as well. But yeah, kind of a whoops. Those unexpected things that happen. That you're like, oh well, I didn't plan on that happening today. Well, that's what happened. Patriot Radio News Hour. We'll be back after the break. 800-951-0592. Patriot Radio News Hour. Joe and Jason here on this Tuesday. AllAmericanGold.com is the website. How is Wall Street reaction? They don't care. Right. This is another side of bubbles, right? The Dow's up 80, S&P's up 13, the NASDAQ's up 62, the 10-year note 256, crude oil down a little bit, gold is up, silver is down. And again, the chaos that we're seeing here it's just going to continue. This just adds to it. But getting diversified is going to be where you want to be when this bubble burst. And you need to be, and unfortunately, it's not even unfortunate. You have to do it before it bursts. Because after that, it's just too late. Check out our friends over at YRefi, up to 10.25% fixed rates of return. Not correlated to Wall Street. Not correlated to the Fed. It's not correlated to the bubble. Fixed rates of return. You can turn your income on. You can turn it off. If you got it $50,000 or more, because that's the minimum, $50,000 or more, you owe it to yourself to check them out. Invest. YRefi.com. That's the word invest, the letter Y, REFY.com. Or just call them at 888-YRefi-24. But Jason, this port, it is the largest port for shipping automobiles in and out of the country. So that's kind of unique to the Port of Baltimore. There also now, there's other implications. So there's laws in place. Like you can't ship hazardous materials or gases through tunnels. Right? You have to go over open space for those types of deliveries. And that was the bridge that you did it in, Jason. So this is going to be interesting how this will affect that part of the country. My guess is there's going to be things that just start costing a lot more than a lot of people will understand. Well, gosh, why does this cost so much right now? You know, propane, things of that nature. Going to be interesting to see how this all plays out and how long the port is going to be out of commission, right? Because there's got to be an investigation. Right now, there's 20 people missing. Then you got to get the bridge out of the water. And at that point, can the port reopen without the bridge and all of those things? That all remains to be seen.
Well, it seems like the shipping should be just fine after they clear the debris, Joe. That's the kind of what I was getting at. I mean, it's probably a little bit of a dance, from what I understand, to get the ships under that bridge every time. So now they don't, there's no bridge to worry about. I just wondered how fast they can move ships in and out of there now without the bridge to be in the way. But no, it's absolutely going to slow everything down in the short term. You know, there's I don't know what it. Of course, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know about shipping like you do, Joe. I don't know how fast would it be to clear all that wreckage out of the bay there. So I'm guessing they can get it done pretty quick. But building a bridge, I won't complain about traffic for the rest of this week. How's that? I won't.
Yeah. That, boy, isn't that true? I feel sorry for anyone that that's their main way of getting to and from work every day. Cocoa futures, we talked about this last week, hit a new record of 9,000. Today, a new record over $10,000 per ton. The fifth straight gain, cocoa futures now up 150%. In less than 90 days. So the previous, now to give you an idea, the previous record, and this is just kind of nuts. By the way, 46 years was $5,500 a ton. So that record has fallen and fallen by a lot. All you chocolate lovers out there, wow, this is going to be big. This is going to be already, you know, I used to tell the story when I was growing up, and it was a different time. You know, there was no cell phones, right? There's no beepers. There's, you know, basically your parents wanted to get a hold of you. They went to the front door and yelled, right? I mean, that's what they did. Joey! You know, they yelled, right? You know, and as far as that would go. And growing up, me and my buddies, we built a log cabin together. We started it when I was 10. It finished when we were 14. But, you know, we'd ride our bikes down to Tony's. It was, you know, there wasn't, you know what, this is before like Circle K's and Quick Trips and all that stuff. It was Tony's. We lived in a town. We didn't have a supermarket. Right, so you'd had to go to DeWitt to get to the big supermarket. So we had this you know, little store. It had a little meat counter and things like that. And this guy Tony, he ran the place, and we'd go down and buy a 2 liter bottle. You know, 2 liter soda was like, I don't know, three for a dollar, something like that for a 2 liter. The candy bars were 25 cents, and I think they were actually 15 cents, but I'll say 25 cents. A pack of baseball cards with the gum in it was 15 cents, right? You know, now at the stores, those candy bars, they're almost too much. They're like $1.79. Well, why do I have the feeling, Jason, they're going to be over $2 because cocoa prices, this is just crazy what's happening to the price of cocoa right now.
Just seems like we're always mentioning every couple of months some item, some crop, some market that's blowing up in price. It just continues to happen. And then you have the news cycle, which Joe and I were talking this morning, just little minor emergencies popping up all over the place. Where are we headed, Joe, right, is the question. And we know one thing economically. It's inflation. Inflation, it's been here for decades and decades and decades. It's been here since 1913 in America. And we are hitting a cycle that really sadly looks like we're going to have higher, if not at least a lower state of hyperinflation. You know, hyperinflation doesn't have to be Weimar Republic. Hyperinflation could be, you know, 20% a year for 5 years. You know, can you imagine, Joe, 20%? Let's just say it blows up this year, and starting in 2025, all the way till 2030, it's 10 to 20% inflation every year, and they just can't stop it. These things happen, and you have to be ready for it. We can't be ready for a terrorist attack in Russia. We can't be ready for ships blowing up bridges in Baltimore. We can't be ready for 9/11s or COVID to hit you. There's nothing you can do about those things. You know, you're not in the planning room of these weird happenings, but you can take care of yourself, Joe. You can understand economically where you stand, and you know, I like preppers. Preppers, there's nothing wrong with prepping. I know it seems a little like paranoid activity for some, but prepping sure seems to be more mainstream than it's ever been. And it's making the Mormons look good, isn't it, Joe? Mormons look better every day, don't they? They've been doing the prepping for a long time. And when it comes economically, I prep for economic chaos. Because economic chaos is a plan. I know it's planned. It's why I bought into this gold and silver company, because I knew the next false emergency was going to happen. And when Joe offered the opportunity, I jumped in feet and hands and head first. I was so excited, because I knew that the next 9/11 type event was coming. I didn't know it was going to be a pandemic, but I knew it was coming, and it was going to make things crazy. And here we are in 2024, Joe, and it's still making things crazy. Chocolate? You're talking about chocolate, right? Chocolate is out of control. Yeah. So, yeah, what's next, Joe?
And this is you know, Jason brought this point up already. We're seeing this play out in different commodities every 3 to 6 months. You know, these commodities all of a sudden just take off and jump at these incredible amounts. I mean, 150% in less than 90 days. I mean, if that happened in the gold market, we'd be talking about gold over $5,000 in less than 90 days. I mean, those are the things that you have to be on guard for. And I think this is kind of the setup to all of this, as we see it play out time and time and time and time again, because all of these companies, everything that they do is really supposed to be as efficient as possible. See, back in the old days, companies had stockpiles of stuff. Because you're like, man, I don't know, you know, guys, it's not that reliable, right? The train may not show up, the ship may not get here, stuff happens, and you carry inventory. Because, hey, you know what, we may not get this aluminum that we need to make the car on time, we've got a 10, 12, 15-day supply. Maybe we've got a 30-day supply. We don't have that in anything anymore, right? Everything is kind of set up for things to be perfect. And when things aren't perfect, all of a sudden, bad stuff starts happening. And, of course, right now, we've got war all over the place. We got a mess at the border. We call it the year of chaos. And here's the thing since COVID. Inventories of everything are gone. You know, we talk, like, you know, obviously we focus on precious metals. I told you about how silver had 11 straight years of surpluses. In the last 2 years, it's wiped it all out. There is no more surplus. And now you're one event away from all of a sudden, right? Oh, my gosh, right? Silver prices went up 50% in a week. They went up 100% in a month. This is where we are in just about everything. You know, and Jason, we talk about it all the time, right? This is a world of plenty. But the way they've set it up, we're really at a point where Any little thing, any little hiccup, and we've got a major problem, right? If this had been a different bridge at a different port, what could have been the ramifications of it? And these are the things that I think most people really are clueless, because what do? We go to the store. We expect the stuff to be there. And not only do we expect it to be there, well, we don't expect it to be, well, gosh, last month it cost $10. I went back this month, and now it costs $25. That's not what we expect. But this is exactly what's happening right now.
Yeah, and it's going to, like Joe said, it's going to happen in different commodities. While Joe was talking, I was looking up one that was I was thinking about, but I haven't taken the time to look at it. I buy a raw cane sugar, turbinado sugar. My wife and I buy it in bulk. I mix it in my green tea and my iced tea during the summer. It's you know, instead of table sugar and more processed white sugar, I use that. And for the entirety of 2024, this entire year, the store that we buy in bulk has been out. It just says supply issue. Out. Yeah, there's several items in the store that in the bulk, and if you buy bulk, you're starting to see some holes in the inventory. So I was like, okay, so Joe's talking about cocoa, and he's talking about, you know, these commodities that can shoot up. So I looked up sugar, you know, just the same thing I do with the 100-year gold chart. I'm looking up at the sugar chart. 6 straight years it's up. Up double digits most years. Joe, it was 12 1/3 cents back in 2018, and it's been up every single year since. It's at an all-time high, 22.5 cents. It's kind of where it's at now. It just keeps going up, Joe. Just keeps going up. This is before the inflation, Joe. It was up in 2019 from 18 to 2020, 2021. I think this inflation was coming well before they printed the money, Joe. I think it was coming.
We're back here. Patriot Radio News Hour, Joe and Jason here on this Tuesday. And, gosh, what was it? Last week we talked about Social Security. You better get serious, because it just went up a notch. BlackRock's chairman of the board, Larry Fink, has come out in an annual letter to his shareholders. By the way, BlackRock, part of the evil empire. Listen to this. They oversee $10 trillion in assets. That's five. What could be wrong with that? He said that the decreasing ability to retire in a financially sound way is one of the biggest economic challenges of the mid-21st century. See, he already knows. Wait till next year. I'm just telling. 2025, 2026, 2027, 2028, and beyond. Things are changing, and they're going to change drastically. If you're already struggling now, it's going to get worse. And for those of you, well, I'm okay, it's going to get worse. And he knows it. It's funny what he says, too. He said access to investing can help. It can, right? Yeah, I mean, if you make a lot of money, and you can put, you know, 6%, 8% of your paycheck away, and you never lose your job, and you can do it every month for 40 years. Okay, yeah, you know what? It can help. Unfortunately, that's not most people. Of course, what they didn't tell you, you know, the 401k was never meant to be your retirement. Never. It was supposed to be a supplement to your pension and Social Security. That's what it was made for. See, what businesses did was, man, they had, man, thank you so much for inventing that. Now we can just ditch the pension. And that's what they did. But anyway, listen to this, though. It gets better. While also pondering if the expectation for everyone to receive Social Security benefits at age 65 has become archaic. You know what? My God, that's just barbaric. 65. Today in America, the retirement message that government and companies tell their workers is effectively, you're on your own. And before my generation fully disappears from positions of corporate and political leadership, we have an obligation to change that. Right? So, as eloquently as he put, I'm gonna actually tell you what he just said. Hey, me and my buddies made a lot of money while you guys got poorer. That's kind of what he just said. That's a fancy way of saying, maybe we may have screwed you guys, right? We may have screwed you guys, and we need to take a look at this. And he goes on to say a federal law will require all employers with 401k plans to auto-enroll workers provides a bright spot. Right? We'll just force people to do what we want. Right? Well, auto-enroll, of course, none of that matters. Auto-enroll, don't auto-enroll. The second something bad happens, what do people have to do? They have to hit their 401k. Why? Because they don't have any money. How many people do you know that could go 30 days with no income? How many? Just 30 days. It's only a month. How many? How many could go 30 days with no income and still make a mortgage payment or a rent payment, the car payments, the insurance payments, the health care payments, right? The utility bills, the power bill, the cable bill, the phone bill. And now they're saying, well, we'll just force you to invest. But here's where I'm getting with all of this. Is Larry Fink now is saying that we need to raise the age for Social Security benefits to begin. And this is just another example of how we become poorer again, right? Standard of living goes down again. Hey, let's change the retirement age. You know, they've already done it, right? For 65, now it's 67. Hey, let's go to 75. Let's go to 80. Jason, it's just another example. It's a warning to everybody. You're not going to have the access to Social Security that your parents and your grandparents had. It's just not going to be there because the money's not there anymore.
This has been going on for a long time, Joe. This is it's not something new. It's just getting further down the line. You know, it's getting to the point where someone might actually have to make a decision on what's going to get cut, who's going to suffer the most. And Social Security isn't just going to stop paying. Anybody who says that is it's a little extreme. But what happens is once you can't fund it fully, they have to cut. And I've always fully believed that when it comes to that day, they're going to raise the amount they give to the very low end on Social Security. They're going to raise it up, and then they're going to cut all the middle and upper earners in Social Security and say, look, it's better to get less than get nothing. And the majority of the people at the bottom that get a little bit of a raise, they're going to be all for the big changes, right, Joe? They'll have support. And that's how I see it. And they'll just kind of – that'll be how they just keep floating with less money than they need to fund it, Joe. That's how I see the future of Social Security.
You think I'm kidding? No one should have to work longer than they want to, Fink said. But I do think it's crazy that our anchor idea for the retirement age, 65 years old, originates from the time of the Ottoman Empire. Oh, my God. That's so archaic. It's barbaric. It's terrible. 65. Forget about 65. This is how it starts, right? This is, again, going out and starting to talk about we've got to raise it. It's going to be a crisis. Everything's going to be terrible. We don't have to 2034. I'm just telling you right now. We don't have to 2034 or 2033 or 2030, whatever year they say. We don't have that long. You better get ready for what's coming. And that's by having some more gold and silver put away. Patriot Radio News Hour. We'll be back after the break. 800-951-0592. Gold's been as high as $2,200 again today. Right now, gold, it's flat right now, $2,176. TV gold, $2,198 for TV. They're now to the June contracts on TV. Yesterday, we were running $10 Liberties. Where that's still the best deal. Still the best deal going. 1 through 19, 11.95. Or I'm sorry, 11.90. 20 or more, 11.85. 50 or more, 11.75. Silver's down 25 cents right now. Still got silver rolls, silver quarter rolls at $200 at $800. 951-0592. And Jason, pawn shops around the country are saying they're packed. They're full. Yep. And not packed with, oh my gosh, there's got, no, packed with stuff. Saying that everything from gold rings, pearl necklaces, belt buckles, stereos, clocks, silver, you name it. They've got it. The only thing they're short on, space. There's a glut of inventory out there. Our clientele doesn't have the money necessary. And they're saying that a lot of people that have been pawning aren't even able to make the pawn payments, that they're just surrendering the products to the pawn shop. And again, it's just another one of these signs, right? We've got the... We've got the what I'll call the wealth markets. They're still good, right? But it's that underbelly underneath it, the struggle underneath it that is starting to wear on the economy. Restaurants now are starting to cut hours and lay off right here in Phoenix. Because as I said, I've got a bunch of buddies, and they said, hey, we've gone from work as many hours as you want, right, to, yeah, now I'm making hard choices. It's like, okay, I know you've been, you know, you've been working Saturday nights, which, you know, that's a good night to work. Yet you're not getting that shift. We're going to operate with one less waitress. We're going to operate with one less, busser, or we're going to operate with one less cook, and it's happening all over the place. And now restaurants are saying tips have started shrinking as well. So now the people that are working, Jason, they're not making as much because the tipping's gone down.
Yeah, tipping's a whole other subject, isn't it? It used to be there were certain areas you tipped. And now it seems like there's a tip jar out on every single place, every corner, every countertop, and the businesses are wanting the consumer to, add another tax to whatever you're buying. I mean, a tip is supposed to be for personal service, you know, and you're tipping the service you're getting from a person. Not the, hey, I just ordered from some restaurant computer and the guy brings it to me and I should tip him. And that, it just shows you everybody needs every dollar. And so when tipping is down, pawn shops are stuffed full. These are, you're on a whirlwind of showing all of the reasons why things are looking worse and worse. And the pawn shops that make it out the back of this are going to be doing really, really good because owning stuff during inflation is great. But if you can't even store the stuff you got and you can't turn it around, I mean, who's going to buy this stuff if the pawn shops, if they're overloaded, they have to sell it to somebody. They have to wholesale it.
Yeah.
I don't think the wholesalers are wanting the stuff that they've got. It's like when the ports were full, Joe.
Yeah, they just give you less, right? They're like, man, I'm full.
Yes,
right?
Less.
I've already got, right? I've already got 10 camcorders, 20 camcorders. I've already got whatever, this power tool, that power tool, and something that, maybe they could have pawned it and gotten $50 or $100. Hey, they may only get 20 or 10, right? Hey, you know what? I can't move it. I can't move it, yep. So I'm going to give you even less for it.
I'll ask my guy, but I'm pretty sure on the lower end stuff, they're just turning you away. They're not buying it at all. There's no reason to.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's worth nothing to me, right? Yeah, that 5-year-old TV is worth zero to me right now. How about this? All-time record auction sizes this week. Started yesterday, $66 billion. The largest 2-year auction on record. And Jason, how long can we keep doing it, right? How long can we set record sizes in these treasury auctions and have enough money to go around? This one went okay. Listen, as far as auctions go, it was far from the worst. It had a small tail, but it wasn't bad, really that bad. But it's the size, $66 million. The problem is, what happens when it's a 10-year, 20-year, 30-year? Because they're all going to be record auction sizes from here on out for the rest of the year.
Just this year?
You got to remember, right? They only announce, right? We're expecting, I don't expect another increase from the Treasury until towards the end of this year. They'll make an announcement probably somewhere in October. Oh, we got to raise the auction size, right? That's kind of a new thing now, right? Every 60 to 90 days, the Treasury's got to make an announcement that we need to increase the size of the auction. But, I mean, they're getting up there now, $66 billion.
Sounds like the Treasury's pawn shop's getting a little full. That's what it sounds like.
800-951-0592. $10 liberties. Stack them up while you can. Patriot Radio News Hour. Be back after the break. 800-951-0592. $10 liberties. 1 through 19. 1190, 20 or more, 1185, 50 or more, $1,175. And then rolls of 40 U.S. silver quarters, pre-1965 silver quarters, at $200, at 800-951-0592. Crude oil's gone positive, like it needs to go any higher than it already is. India saying that it will comply with U.S. sanctions. They will not be buying any more Venezuelan oil. And then the latest rounds of sanctions, the United States sanctioned a Russian shipping company that ships Russian oil. India has said that they've stopped accepting crude oil delivered by those tankers, which unfortunately is most of the crude oil out there. Jason, I'm going to say this right now. I hope India changes its mind. And everybody listening, you better hope India changes its mind, because otherwise this summer we're going to see gas prices back to levels we don't want to see, because if they're not going to buy it from Russia, and they're not going to buy it from Venezuela, and OPEC's already said we're not going to pump any more crude, we're going to have a problem.
Supply and demand, right? That's all it is. Yeah. Supply and demand. I mean, it's no matter how much fluff and fairy tales is in the news, it all eventually comes down to supply and demand. I mean, just look at COVID when all this stuff disappeared off the shelves. Suddenly, toilet paper became a commodity that was precious for a short time, right? Used cars became the number one commodity in 2021. Simply supply and demand, Joe.
And this is, again, this is another one of these situations where I think it's going to be, you know, Goldman Sachs probably had it right. The Fed's going to keep telling you they want 2% inflation. And of course they want it. They're just unwilling to do what's necessary to get it. And we're probably setting ourselves up for a 2020. I think stocks are going to go higher. I think gold and silver are going to really take off with all of this because, once again, and I've said this over and over and over again, we have a very weak central bank. We have a very weak president. This is a very similar setup to what we saw in the 70s. And Jason, they tried to take a victory lap before it was over. And now, and of course, you know, stuff like the bridge in Baltimore. These are that's just throwing more fuel on the fire. Cocoa prices, right? That just happened to be, well, it was bad weather in the places that produce cocoa, and now all of a sudden, right, here you go again, and it just seems like it's one thing after another. We got bird flu, places mysteriously blow up, cows catch on fire now. I mean, all of this stuff just adds up for chaos.
Terrorist attacks in Russia, tires falling and airplane parts flying off airplanes.
Flying off airplanes.
There's just no end to these, like, these minor emergencies. It sure is. Seems like they're – I said to Joe before the show, things are percolating towards some sort of major emergency. It's we're getting ready. They're getting us ready for something, Joe. We'll see what the next thing will be. But when it happens, watch out, because economically you better be ready.
Why do I have a feeling one of those hurricanes – takes a direct hit where we don't need it to be this year.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.